Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Prabhupada, 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 Jaya Jaya Prabhupada. Jaya Jaya Prabhupada, 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 Jaya Jaya Prabhupada. Nitai Gora Haribol, 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 Nitai Gora Haribol. Jai Nitai Gora Premanande. Jai Om Vishnu Pad Paramahamsa Parivrajakacharya Stotra Sat Shishimad His Divine Loving Grace Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada Ki Jai Om Vishnu Pad Paramahamsa Parivrajakacharya Stotra Sat Shishimad His Divine Loving Grace Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Goswami Maharaj Prabhupada Ki Ananta Koti Vaishnava Vrinda Ki Namacharya Srila Haridas Thakur Ki Prem Sakaho Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadha Shivasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Ki Shri Radha Krishna Gopa Gopinath Shyam Kunda Radha Kundiri Govardhan Ki Brajbhumi Shri Vrindavan Dham Ki Shri Navadeep Mayapur Dham Ki Purushottam Kshetra Jagannath Puri Dham Ki Samaveta Bhakta Vrinda Ki Jai Nitai Gaur Premanande O glory Sri Asamo Devotees O glory Sri Asamo Devotees O glory Sri Asamo Devotees O glories to the Lotus Feet of Shri Shri Guru and Sri Gauranga O glories to Srila Prabhupada Hare Krishna. So reading today from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 3. Chapter is entitled The Birth of Lord Krishna. And the text number is 27. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Martyo Mrityu Vyala Bita Palayan Lokan Sarvan Nibhayam Nadya Gacchat Tvatpadabjam prapya yadrichayatya Sushta shete mrityurasmadupaiti Martyo mrityu vyala bhita palayan Lokan sarvan nirbhayam nadhyagachat Tvatpadabjam prapya yadrichayatya Sushta shete mrityurasmadapaiti Martyo mrityu vyala bhita palayan Lokan sarvan nirbhayam nadyagachat Tvatpadabjam prapya yadrichayatya Sushta shete mrityurasmadapaiti Vaishnavis. Anyone else? Okay, so word for word translation and purport by His Divine Grace Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki Martya, the living entities who are sure to die. Mrityu vyala bhita, afraid of the serpent of death. Palayan, running. As soon as a serpent is seen, everyone runs away, fearing immediate death. Lokan, to the different planets. Sarvan, all. Nirbhayam, fearlessness. Na, adhyagachat, do not obtain. Tvat pada abjam, of your lotus feet. Prapya, obtaining the shelter. Yadrichaya, by chance, by the mercy of your Lordship and your representative, the spiritual master, Guru Kripa, Krishna Kripa, Adya, presently, Sustah, being undisturbed and mentally composed. Shete are sleeping. Mrityu, death, asmat, from those persons. Apaiti flees. Translation: no one in the spiritual world has become free from the four principles, birth, death, old age, and disease, even by fleeing to various planets. But now that you've appeared, my Lord, death is fleeing in fear of you, and the living entities, having obtained shelter at your lotus feet by your mercy, are sleeping in full mental peace. Responsibly, please. Responsibly and responsibly also, if you want. So no one in this material world has become free from the four principles: birth, death, old age, and disease, even by fleeing to various planets. But now that you've appeared, my Lord, death is fleeing in fear of you. And the living entities, having obtained shelter at your lotus feet, by your mercy, are sleeping in full mental peace. Purport by His Divine Grace Srila E.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki. There are different categories of living entities, but everyone is afraid of death. The highest aim of the karmis is to be promoted to the higher heavenly planets, where the duration of life is very long. As stated in Bhagavad Gita 8.17, Sahasra yugam yuga paryantam aharyat brahmano vidu. One day of Brahma equals 1,000 yugas, and each yuga consists of 4,300,000 years. Similarly, Brahma has a night of 1,000 times 4,300,000 years. In this way, we may calculate Brahma's month and year, but even Brahma, who lives for millions and millions of years, Dwi Praradha Kala, also must die. According to Vedic Shastra, the inhabitants of the higher planetary systems live for 10,000 years. And just as Brahma's day is calculated to equal 4,300,000,000 of our years, one day in the higher planetary systems equals 6 of our months. Karmis therefore try for promotion to the higher planetary systems, but this cannot free them from death. In this material world, everyone from Rama to the insignificant ant must die. Therefore, this world is called Martya Loka. As Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita 8.16, Abrahma Bhuvana Loka Punar Avartina Arjuna. As long as one is within this material world, either on Brahma Loka or on any other loka within this universe, one must undergo the Kala Chakra of one life after another. Bhutva Bhutva Praliyate. But if one returns to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Yad Gatva Nani Vartante, one need not re-enter the limits of time. Therefore, devotees who have taken shelter of the lotus feet of the Supreme Lord can sleep very peacefully with this assurance from the Supreme Personality of Godhead. As confirmed in Bhagavad Gita 4.9, Tyaktva Deham Punarjanmana Iti. After giving up the present body, a devotee who has understood Krishna as he is need not return to this material world. The constitutional position for the living entity is eternity. Nahanyate hanyamane sharire nitya shashvatoyam. Every living entity is eternal, but because of having fallen into this material world, one wanders within the universe continually changing from one body to another. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, Brahmanda Brahmite Kono Bhagyavan Jeev Guru Krishna Prasad Pai Bhakti Lata Beach. Chaitanya Charitamrita Madhya Lila 19.151. Everyone is wandering up and down within this universe. But one who is sufficiently fortunate comes in contact with Krishna consciousness by the mercy of the spiritual master and takes to the path of devotional service. Then one is assured of eternal life with no fear of death. When Krishna appears, everyone is freed from fear of death. Yet Devaki felt, we are still afraid of Kamsa, although you've appeared as our son. She was more or less bewildered as to why this should be so, and she appealed to the Lord to free her and Vasudeva from this fear. In this connection, it may be noted that the moon is one of the heavenly planets. From the Vedic literature, we understand that one who goes to the moon receives a life with a duration of 10,000 years in which to enjoy the fruits of pious activities. If our so-called scientists are going to the moon, why should they come back here? We must conclude without a doubt that they have never gone to the moon. To go to the moon, one must have the qualification of pious activities. Then one may go there and live. If one has gone to the moon, why should he return to this planet where life is of a very short duration? Srila Prabhupada ki Om Ajnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Bhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Sayam Rupa Kada Mahyam Ladati Sa Padantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathan Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakan Vitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dinabandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gorangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpataru Bhyascha Kripa Sindhu Bhyayevacha Patitanam Bhavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare So one of the characteristics of a devotee is the humility and appreciation of the Lord's glory and potency. Whenever a devotee gets the opportunity to have the darshan of the Supreme Lord, they cannot help but offer glorious prayers in honor of the Supreme Lord. So in this section of the Bhagavatam, Vasudeva and Devaki are exhibiting one of these characteristics of the devotee, this tendency to want to glorify the Supreme Lord because they have truly understood and appreciate the position of the Supreme Lord. The conditioned soul, out of envy for the Supreme Lord, wants to be glorified. But a pure soul, the liberated soul, appreciating the potency of the Supreme Lord, appreciating His beauty and His compassion and His kindness, and seeing and understanding that there's no one superior to the Lord in these aspects, feels impelled and compelled to also express their amazement and wonder at the Lord's abilities and potencies. So Vasudeva and Devaki, after the birth of Lord Krishna, getting his darshan, offered him some prayers. In the previous section, Vasudeva offered prayers, and he spoke about various aspects of Krishna's characteristics, that as Krishna's transcendental position that makes him unique. And now Devaki is also doing the same. So this verse here is the fourth verse in the series of prayers that Devaki is offered. And here she's speaking about the very important aspect of Krishna's nature, Krishna's ability to free one from the fear of death. Right? Sometimes people say that spiritual life is only just an attempt for those who cannot handle real life to escape. They're looking for an opportunity to escape, so they take to spiritual life so they don't have to face the realities of material existence. But here we see in this section here, the whole verse is all about death. And we see also in the Shastras that there are various chapters dedicated to death. In fact, the 8th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, the whole chapter talks about death, how one should leave the body. And the Bhagavatam also starts after a person who is about to die inquires on how to face death. And the reason for this is that death is a very important and an unavoidable part of material existence. Everyone dies. Who can name one person who's never died? Nobody. Right? Everybody has to die. In fact, this material world is described to be just like a sexually transmitted terminal illness. And this is very grave, very serious. A terminal illness is basically a disease. When you get it, you're going to die anyway. So as soon as you take birth, you're going to die. Right? There is no getting around it. Now, what makes material existence a sexually transmitted terminal illness is that we take birth into this world through the union between man and woman, through sex. And as a result of this, we take birth and we end up dying anyway. So just like you have HIV, we also have material life, right? You catch it, you're going to die. So this purport here is talking about death, and it talks about death for a devotee, because a devotee also has to experience death. Regardless of how advanced you are, you also have to experience death. The materialist has to experience it, the devotee also has to experience it. In Mahabharata, after Abhimanyu was killed by the Kauravas, when he was instructed to enter the Chakravyuha, because they felt that he was the only person who knew as to how to get in and get out of the Chakravyuha, but somehow Abhimanyu ended up getting killed. So the Pandavas were feeling distressed, because they had instructed him to enter the Chakravyuha. Yudhishthira could not handle the pain of having feeling responsible for Abhimanyu's death, that he became despondent and started to lament. And then he met with Vyasadeva, who instructed him, and Vyasadeva told him, "I'm sorry, but no matter how great a personality may be, they cannot break the laws of material life, material nature. It's impossible." And then he went on to give him a list of names of great sages who also died, great kings who also died. Everybody has to die in this material world. Well, here the contrast is given between the experience of a devotee's death and the experience of a materialist's death, right? There's a difference. And this difference is important to understand, because sometimes when materialists look at devotees, one of the challenges that present to devotees as to why should I accept your path is because you guys are doing the same thing I'm doing. You eat, I eat. You sleep, I sleep. You die, I die. So what makes your spirituality different? Why should I take to this path? Because I'm going to die just like you also. But there's a difference between the death of a devotee and the death of a materialist. The devotee's death is that it's a death that is joyfully accepted and is welcome. That when a devotee dies, the devotee is not afraid, but a materialist is afraid. And the reason why a materialist is afraid is because of his attachment to the material body and his identification to the material body. There's this verse in the 11th canto of Bhagavatam which explains how fear arises. Bhayam dvitiya vinivetasyat. And he says that fear arises. This is 11th canto, chapter 2, text 37. He says there that fear arises when a living entity misidentifies himself as the material body because of absorption in the external illusory energy of the Lord. Right? When a living entity starts to identify with the body, thinking the body to be oneself, then the living entity also undergoes the same types of tribulations due to the mental and psychological attachments to the body. Right? One devotee gives the example that just like a man is holding on to a rope that is attached to a vehicle, so wherever that vehicle goes, he's also dragged in the same direction. So if the vehicle goes through thorny bushes, if the vehicle goes through dirty, muddy areas, he also gets dirty, he also gets muddy, he also gets hurt by the thorns because he's holding on to that vehicle. So in the same way the living entity is identifying with the body, they're holding on to the body psychologically. And whatever experiences the body goes through, which is birth, death, old age, and disease, they also experience it thinking themselves to be the one experiencing it, right? So they start to feel the same pain as the body is going through. So fear of death is only caused by misconception about one's identity, we think we're the body, and also due to misconceptions about the material world, one's position in the material world. Because we think in the material world we are here to try to enjoy. But the problem is everybody else within this material world also wants to enjoy. So in order for them to enjoy, it creates some kind of competition which creates conflict to the extent that people go as far as to end one's life in order to enjoy one's facilities, one's position. So this creates all sorts of problems. So one's misunderstanding about one's identity, misunderstanding about one's position in the material world. Instead of thinking Jivera Surupa Hoy Krishna Nitidas, some servant of Krishna, you start to think that I am the center. As Prabhupada explains in the Bhagavad Gita, I think this is the introduction in the Bhagavad Gita, he says that everyone within this world is moved by various psychic divisions, he explains, I think it's called it. And he says that I am the Lord of all I survey, right? And I am the enjoyer, like that. Psychologically, this disposition creates a kind of unpleasant situation for the living entity, right? Now, the difference between the living and the conditioned soul and the pure soul is that the pure soul is not functioning under this conception. So here in this purport, Prabhupada explains how to become free from this conception, this ignorance, this fear of death. He explains that this can only be made possible by He says, devotees who have taken shelter of the lotus feet of the Supreme Lord can sleep very peacefully. And then he goes on to say, he quotes a verse from Bhagavad Gita, chapter 4, text 9, Chakto Deham Punar Janma Naiti. After giving up the present body, a devotee who's understood Krishna as he is need not return to this material world. So basically, it's the point that devotional service is the way to become freed from this fear of death, this fear that is moving every living entity within this material world. Now, this conception, this may come across as very simplistic sometimes, right? Everything, basically, most of the instructions given in the Shastras are very simple by nature, but very complex also when you dig deep and analyze them much more closely. And the problem with the conditioned soul is that they have a tendency to see things on the surface, on the externals, they focus on the externals. So this instruction may come across as very basic. Just taking shelter of the Supreme Lord will give me freedom from fear as is possible. Right? A few years ago there was a film that came out called Oh My God, I think it was called. It was a very popular movie in India especially. And in this film, the main character, it was a comedy, and the whole idea of the film was to basically make fun of religion. The basic premise of the film anyway. And the whole idea was to try to demonstrate us how religion is futile and how religious people are disillusioned and confused. So what the writers of this film did, they would take various aspects of religious practices, spiritual practices, like offering charity to the temple, making offerings to the deity, and then simplify it and make fun out of it. Right? And this film became very popular, and many people considered it to be a triumph against a false religion, organized religion. So one devotee, Chaitanya Charan Prabhu, wrote a book to counter the arguments given in this film as to why making offerings to the deities and offering charity to the temple and visiting the temple and rendering service to the Lord and all these different activities are actually much more potent than they appear to be. So he gave a series of arguments and demonstrating that there is a layer of death that one who's not trained, one who doesn't have substance, cannot understand the substance behind religious practices. Yeah? It's essentially what the focus of his book was. Right? So one who doesn't have substance cannot understand the substance of this instruction given in his purport of Bhagavatam. Why is it that surrendering to the Supreme Lord is the best way to become free from the cycle of birth and death? Yeah. This first thing is due to the relationship between the Supreme Lord and death. Ultimately, what is death? Death is nothing other than another form of the Supreme Lord himself. Krishna explains so in the Bhagavad Gita. Mrityu sarva haras chaham. I am the all-devouring death, right? Death is ultimately just a harsher form of the Lord which comes to take away from the rebellious living entities, right? So the example is given, just like you have a bailiff, you owe money to the lenders. They lend you money to buy various things and you were not able to repay your debt. Then after a certain point, when the time is due, these lenders, these debt collectors, they will send some debt collectors. In the UK, we call them bailiffs. That's just another term for them. They'll come and then repossess all the possessions that they've given you that you've been able to acquire with the resources that they've given you. So the living entity ends up in a position where they require facilities from Krishna to enjoy within this material world because they wanted to establish a relationship of enjoyment, looking at Krishna as a source of enjoyment. So this created a situation where the relationship became one of business orientated, right? If they're pious, that is. If they're not, then they'll try to enjoy separately. But even then, they still depend on the Supreme Lord to enjoy. Now, if they're pious, they will approach him directly and beg and then make some, you know, just make a little donation, bow down, take a sweet, make a donation, bow down, take a sweet, don't stay for the class, disappear afterwards. And they will get the enjoyment they want. But when the time comes, the bailiff, Krishna in the form of death, comes and takes away. Right? So death is none other than Krishna. Now, you can have a relationship based on business to Krishna, and then when the time is up, he comes and takes. Or you can have a relationship based on familiarity, a relationship based on love and affection. Just like you have the debt collector. He relates to the people who owe him money in a very strict, by the book manner. You owe me money, you pay by this time. If you don't pay, I take it away from you. He also has a relationship with his family members. Now that relationship with his family members is much less strenuous, it's much less strict, it's much less serious than his relationship with the people who owe him money in a business setting. So the child of the debt collector can also enjoy the resources of the debt collector without having to worry about losing them, because he lives in the house. They have a real affectionate relationship. That makes sense. So they can have access to the resources on tap. On tap is like you turn on a tap, water comes. So in the same way, whenever they want it, they can have access to it. So this is the relationship between Krishna and his devotees. And when one surrenders to Krishna, one can also have access to this relationship. When we surrender to Krishna, Krishna is no longer the taker, Krishna gives. Right? And what does he give to the devotee? His Holiness Bhakti Rasayana Sagar Maharaj devised a very nice acronym to describe what a devotee gets from surrendering to Krishna. He says that just like for a non-devotee, Krishna comes as death, for a devotee, Krishna gives life. And he says life, L stands for love. The time of death, when Krishna comes to take the devotee, right, is merely giving him access to a higher level of experience, a loving experience, right? By leaving the body, the pure devotee goes back to the spiritual world, enters the spiritual reality, where he experiences the different types of rasas to the fullest extent. So a devotee gets love through death. A non-devotee, what does he get? He gets disappointment. He gets disillusionment. He gets embarrassment. He gets humiliation, ultimately. But the devotee gets love. Then the second thing the devotee gets from his relationship with Krishna at the time of death, a devotee gets access to immortality, right? You never have to take birth again. You become reinstated in your eternal, original position as a Sat Chit Ananda position, Sat, eternality, right? So becoming reinstated in one's position. And then the third thing the devotee gets when Krishna comes to take them out of this material world, Krishna frees them from the entanglement of material existence. They are no longer subjected to the influence of the modes of material nature, so they get freedom, F. And then E, they get enlightenment. Right, they become. Sorry, this is actually Padma Pad Prabhu sending me a message on WhatsApp. Sorry, man. So they get enlightenment, right? They get removed from the darkness of material existence. This is what a devotee gets by surrendering to the Supreme Lord. So, therefore, in this section here, this point is being made because everybody in the material world wants to be free from death. If you do not have the opportunity to present any other purport to anybody within this world, if you just present this purport effectively, this should be enough to convince them to take to the path of devotional service. Because the vast majority of people, the biggest anxiety on their mind is the time of death. It's just that there are varieties of ways people deal with this fear of death, but ultimately everybody is afraid of death. Some people deal with the fear of death by pretending it's not going to happen and become forcing themselves to absorbing themselves in material enjoyment to forget it. So they exhibit what is called the ostrich mentality. When you're chased, like the ostrich is a type of bird. I think this is indigenous to like Australia or something like that. And this bird has got a very long neck, very ugly looking bird. When you see this bird, you wonder why the living entity decided to come to the material world, because you end up in bodies like that. So this ostrich, very ugly looking bird, is also very stupid, just like most animals. So when this bird gets chased by a predator, right, when life gets too hot for this bird, one of the ways the bird figures to deal with this is to bury its head in the sand. Instead of running away, instead of fighting, buries his head in the sand. By burying, because the logic is if I bury my head in the sand, then I don't have to deal with the problem. So this is the same kind of consciousness in psychology that some materialistic people have. They try to forget about death by becoming more and more absorbed in material enjoyment, material existence. But the problem with this is that death, just like the ostrich burying his head, is still coming. But now you put yourself in a more disadvantaged situation because you're no longer mobile. Your head is stuck in the sand. So the karmi, the materialistic person, is no longer able to deal with the reality of material existence because he's become blinkered, is blinded by his material enjoyment, and it's easier for death to catch him. Right? It's also a very nice analogy. Like I think this is in South America, places like that. When they want to catch monkeys, one of the things that they do is that they will take a very nice ball shape item, maybe like a coconut shell or something like that. They put a hole on top of the shell, a hole big enough for the monkey's hand to get into it, and then fill the shell up with nuts. And then they place it there, and the monkey comes, the monkey likes nuts. The monkey will reach inside, grab the nuts. But in order to get out, he has to let go of the nuts because the hole is big enough for his hand to go in empty, but it's not big enough for his hand to get out full. But because the monkey is attached to the nuts, he doesn't want to go up. So he's fighting, doing all sorts of things. And while he's doing this, his hand is stuck inside. The hunter comes, grabs the monkey with the nuts, puts him in the bag, and that's the end of the monkey. So this is the same situation for the materialistic person in this material world, trying to deal with death by pretending that it doesn't exist, becoming absorbed. Now, another way they deal with death is by becoming so obsessed and fearful of death to the point that they cannot live anymore. They become paranoid. Now, a devotee, his conception is in the middle. He's got a balanced outlook on death. Death is going to come, but he prepares for it. That's the difference between a devotee and a non-devotee. He doesn't pretend that it's not going to happen. He doesn't suppress the idea of death coming. And he doesn't become paralyzed by the fear of death coming. What he does, he processes the reality of death. He processes it following the guidelines given in Scripture. And the basic premise, the basic guideline given in Scripture for dealing with death is to take shelter of the Supreme Lord. There's this very nice verse in the second canto of Bhagavatam, chapter 3, text 17, which says, both by rising and setting, the sun decreases the duration of life of everyone, except one who utilizes the time by discussing topics of the all-good personality of Godhead. By engaging in hearing and chanting the glories of Krishna, one becomes more and more disentangled from material existence, and then at the time of death, it's much easier to think of Krishna. To do the opposite, one remains entangled, and the likelihood of remembering what you're attached to when you were alive is more high. Yeah? Whatever you do when you're awake, that's what you remember when you're sleeping. Whatever you do when you're alive, that's what you remember when you die, like that. So this is a very important verse, because here Devaki is giving us a glimpse of one of the characteristics of Krishna. Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who can give one freedom from the cycle of birth and death, because death himself, fear itself, runs away from Krishna. That's how powerful Krishna is. So therefore, every living entity within this material world was seeking to become free from all fear, especially the most potent form of fear, the fear of death, must take shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And the process for doing that, as explained throughout the Bhagavatam in various places, is by hearing the glories of Krishna, as was described in this particular verse, on a repeated basis, systematically, by chanting the holy name of Krishna, and by serving the devotees of Krishna. By doing these things, one becomes eligible to enter the kingdom of God at the time of death, as Krishna explains in the Bhagavad Gita and in various places. So, this is just my simple conceptions. I'm a very ignorant personality, but by the grace of the Supreme Lord and the devotees, I'm sitting here today and get the opportunity to speak on the Bhagavatam. But these are my thoughts, and we still have some minutes. If anyone has any questions or comments or corrections, then I would like to hear them and perhaps attempt to answer your questions also. Any questions? Prabhuji.
Thank you, Prabhu, for this enlightening discussion. In material world, except devotee, everybody tries to keep the death under the rug because they don't want to think of this. And this is the dilemma, because when the death comes, they are very much afraid and everything. But in that respect, you mentioned that, in Srimad Bhagavatam also, that, Eta Nirbhuta Mananam Ichchato Kudabham Yoginam Nipani Nirtam Hare Namanu Kirtanam. So that you mentioned that only Harinam Kirtan, doing constantly, we can, be delivered from the fear and also go back to Godhead.
Okay, thank you. That's one of the verses I had listed, actually, but I didn't quote it. It says there, actually, in our purport, and the purport to that verse, I think this is in the purport to that verse, Prabhupada lists various great personalities throughout history. He speaks about Ravana, Kamsa, Hiranyakashipu, and he says that these were all great persons who tried to cheat death, who felt they were so powerful, but they were also very easily dispatched by the Supreme Lord, right? And the Supreme Lord is the most powerful, and that powerful Supreme Lord is saying that his holy name is no different from him. So one who takes shelter of the holy name can become free from him in his former death, basically. So Prabhupada lists, gives that example there. So that's also a very powerful verse. So thank you for sharing that. Any other question or comment? Yes, Mataji.
It's on?
Yes.
Prabhuji, we have such a wonderful, sublime process. And you said that a lot of karmis are trying to escape from the material life, yeah, by getting even more involved in their everyday lives. But often I get in the question, and I would like you to answer it for me, for the preaching purposes. Devotees also find an escape from the spiritual life in the form of movies or going to the opera houses or things like that. Why do devotees who have such a full lives are looking for escape into, mostly I'm asking about the series, even if they are Mahabharata series or Karmi series, why the movies are so popular amongst the devotees as an escape or coping mechanism with such an intense devotional lives?
So the question is basically why, there's two questions. You're talking about did I watch non-devotional films, or why did I watch devotionally centered films?
Do you think that by explaining to them why they stop this practice, or what should it be? How should it be explained? Because for me, it looks like escape from a very tense devotional lives.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I see it wrong as an escape. Maybe it's something else.
Yeah. See, to comment on these things, first of all, like, for example, devotees watching films like Mahabharata and things like that, it's a little bit of a gray area, because some devotees believe this is actually about Krishna. These are pastimes of the Lord, just like we watch dramas like Ramayana and things like that, put together by devotees. So watching these kind of films, they say that may not exactly be like non-devotional, because it helps me in one way to remember Krishna. And the reason why devotees do these things, speaking about the devotionally themed movies, is because we need some kind of leisure, we need some kind of recreation. Until one becomes a pure devotee, you need to find a way to engage your tendencies and dovetail them in Krishna's service. So if we're talking here of people who used to watch films unrestrictedly. Some people sometimes at the weekend, they just like order so many DVDs or just sit down and watch like Netflix all weekend, all Saturday, Sunday. Sunday is like Netflix day, right? So some non-devotees. I went to visit my brother, and basically the moment he wakes up in the morning, no bath, no shower, nothing. The kids wake up, they just turn on the TV, they're watching cartoons and all sorts of things. So when they come to Krishna consciousness, this tendency is so deeply rooted, so they need an avenue to engage it. And one of those avenues is to watch films that are centered around Krishna, so they dovetail that propensity. So I wouldn't say such a propensity is, I wouldn't say such an activity is entirely sinful, but it becomes a problem when it leads one to the point where they get so obsessed with it that they forget their sadhana and start to neglect their spiritual practice. That's one thing. Now, how to stop doing that is that one has to go deeper in their practice. You have to chant purely, right? How do you develop taste for chanting? By chanting more. How do you develop taste for hearing? By hearing more, like that. So the more we invest time and energy in going deeper in our practice, the easier it will be to resist those urges and to reject those lower tendencies. As Krishna explains in the Bhagavad Gita, that the taste for sense enjoyment is very difficult to overcome, but one can do so when one has a higher taste. And that high taste comes by hearing and chanting. Right? Now, different people may do so at their own pace, depending on the level of their conditioning, to the degree to which they're attached to these things. So sometimes even they may be encouraged to reduce gradually until eventually they can give it up. Does that make sense, Mataji? Because I cannot see you. Okay. No problem. Any other question? Comment? Okay, so it's 9:05. We'll stop there. We went over time. Thank you very much for your time and attention. And please forgive me for any mistakes I may have committed in the presentation. Hare Krishna.